Before we get going, I do want to take just a minute, guys, and practice some of what I preach. I preach repentance. Y'all have heard me preach repentance, right? I want to repent to you and take responsibility. Last night, in my zeal to try and really emphasize the point of raw emotion, I used a phrase that was inappropriate and offensive. So I take responsibility. Sometimes my mouth gets me in trouble. I know I may be the only one, but it does. So I do. I take responsibility. I repent to you. It's never in my heart to hurt anyone, to offend anyone, and definitely not in my heart to cause you to have trouble receiving what God has for you here. So I want to take responsibility for that, guys, and ask you, if you will, please forgive me. That's up to you. You don't have to forgive. That's your choice. But I have taught that forgiveness is really not an option. That's what God tells us to do. So I'm not putting you on the spot, but I'm doing my job. Now you got to do yours. Amen. So I want to let's clear the air there so that there's no hindrance in you receiving what God has for you tonight. So I do repent and thank you for being gracious to me. I appreciate the guys who contacted Brother Keith. I really do. I told you last night, correction is a part of what our Father wants to do. And we need correction. I need correcting. I can receive correction. Amen. I thank God for correction. I thank God for people who are willing to speak into my life. I am not in the least offended by that. So thank you so much. And again, I repent. So let's get moving. You ready? All right, I am too. I'm looking forward to tonight. I do have, at some point, I want to get these handouts to you. Hope we got enough. Because tonight, really what I want to do is kind of bring this down to a very practical level. Not yet. We ain't got to do that yet. But we've taught a lot. I've given you some understanding of rejection and the mindset of rejection and how rejection works in your life. I've taught about who our Father is and how we must bring that brokenness to our Father in relationship and how we've got to be real and be honest and be transparent with God about all that's going on in our life. So I've taught you that. So guys, now it's time to put that into action. I'm going to leave here when we get done tonight. And now it's time for us to take this outside the walls of the church into our own personal lives. So I want to take you, if you will, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 is a verse or a chapter that I use a lot in my teaching, but I want to spend a little time now just really focusing in on what Paul has to say. And we're going to look at verse 11 through verse 18 to get us started tonight. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Say, I'm there. Don't lie to me. If you ain't there, don't say it. But okay. Ephesians 6, 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The majority, what I do, basically, in a simple sense, all that I ever do in my teaching is try to expose the wiles of the devil and give you tools to stand against him. So that's what Paul is saying here. Guys, we've got to be able, put on that full, whole armor of God so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. I wish it was as simple as understanding something, praying a prayer, and the devil just runs off like a scared dog. But that's not the way it works. He's going to try you. He's going to tempt you. He's going to come at you, and you must learn how to stand against the methods, the strategies, the tricks of rejection and everything else that the enemy brings our way. We've got to learn to stand. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Again, our battle's not against flesh and blood. I don't need to reemphasize this. I've said it enough, right? Our battle's not with ourselves. It's not with other human beings. Our battle is with that invisible kingdom. So let's do everything we can to withstand in the evil day. What's the evil day? The evil day is every day. When the evil shows up. I mean, did evil show up to you today? At some point today, were you faced with something that you had to make a decision for right? You had to make a decision to do it God's way instead of the enemy's way. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. So that is the evil day. So let's do everything we can to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That word stand keeps showing up. Have you noticed? Verse 4, 14. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'm not going to preach that. Brother Keith's done a good job not long ago, right? Go back and listen to it. There's the armor of God that we've got to learn to put on and stand against the enemy. So guys, I want to say it to you this way. I've taught you the truth. Now it's up to you. And what I've seen many times working with people, many people love to be taught. I mean, people love gaining knowledge, gaining understanding, and there's nothing wrong with it. But when it comes time for people to put into action and begin to deal with the issues of their life, many people draw back. Amen. It's not just about gaining knowledge. It's about putting what I have learned into practice. Guys, this is really where the separation teaching that I taught first time I came to you. We've got to put that element of separation. Your battle is not against flesh and blood. Your battle is not against yourself or against others. Your battle is against that kingdom. And you've got to learn to separate against the feelings and the thoughts that are coming your way. This is where separation must become a reality, not just an understanding. The reluctancy, the hesitancy, the uncomfortableness that you feel when you're faced with those difficult areas of your life, you've got to understand that's your enemy. Does that make sense? I mean, there's brokenness, there's hurt, and I want to bring it before my Father. Anybody tried it since we've been talking? I hope you have. Did you recognize something there trying to hinder you? Did you recognize uncomfortableness? Did you recognize hesitancy? Did you recognize a reluctancy to really go there and push in? Guys, you've got to understand that is your enemy. You've got to begin to separate yourself and fight against this hindrance of the Spirit of God working in your life. That is your enemy trying to hinder you. Are you with me? If he can't keep you from being taught, he's going to try to keep you from the application. He's going to try to keep you from now putting into practice what you have learned. Luke 10:19 says this, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." You must begin to believe and accept the authority that you have against your enemy. When you recognize this reluctancy, this hesitancy to push in and go there, that's the devil. That's that kingdom at work. You have power over it. You have authority over it. Tell it that you're not going to let it keep you back and continue to push through. That's standing. Does that make sense? Hope so. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Submitting to God must come first. I'm submitting to the truth. I'm submitting to the understanding that I now have. I'm yielding to God, and I'm resisting what the devil's trying to do to keep me out of relationship with God. I must resist him, and he will flee. He will. He's going to come back. You don't want to hear that. That's what he did to Jesus. Right there in the beginning of the ministry, he went out into the wilderness. Three times the devil tried him. And what does Scripture say? He left for a season. What does that mean? He came back. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That means the devil came back not just one more time. He came back several times to tempt and try and test Jesus. He's going to do the same to you. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He will flee. You'll gain victory. He may come back and try you again. You'll gain another victory. The more victories you gain, the more freedom you get. Hallelujah. So let's talk about this thing of the renewing of our mind very quickly. We have established the nature and the character of our adoptive father. We've been adopted. We got that spirit, right? We've established the process whereby we deal with those door points in our life. Now we must begin the process of using the Word of God to renew our minds and to allow it to be the source for the reclaiming of our true identity. If I'm ever going to get back to who God really created me to be, I must use the Word of God. Acts 2:42 says this. This is the nuts and bolts, guys. This is what we've got to do. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What does that mean? What does continue steadfastly look like? They didn't stop. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. What's the apostles' doctrine? It's the teaching. It's the truth of what Jesus is and what Jesus has done. They didn't just go to church and hear it and leave. They continued to study, to meditate, to think, to talk, to discuss, to apply. They continued steadfastly in the doctrine and in fellowship. Guys, I got to say, you can't do this alone. You will never live the victorious Christian life alone. You're not meant to. We're not meant to be alone. God has created us with needs that only God and other people will be able to meet. You can't do it alone. You need fellowship. I would really encourage you, get together. I've heard you guys talking already amongst yourselves. Get together. Continue to talk. Continue to discuss. Talk about what's going on in your life. Pray for each other. Encourage each other. Help each other. This is how you move ahead. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread. What's that? It's not just this, part of it, but I believe breaking of bread, they ate together. They lived life together. I don't know this much about this church, but I do know if you're really going to have relationship and fellowship, you're going to have time outside of the church when you're together. Do you have each other over? Do you spend time with your feet under somebody else's table? Do you bring people into your house and put their feet under your table? Guys, that's where we really learn to live life. That's where we really get to know one another. That's where we really get to practice. Because if you begin to get to know people at that level, stuff's going to show up. Amen. Amen. Come on now. Stuff's going to show up. It's easy. This is easy. It's easy to come in here and sit in the pew and listen to preachers and say, man, that was really good, hallelujah, and go on, go to work and do everything you do and come back next Sunday and do it again. That's easy. But if we want to learn to live the victorious Christian life, we have to live life together. Relationships are the number one principle in the kingdom of God. I've taught you all that. And it's happening in, you can't have a relationship with somebody if you don't spend time with them. Amen. I got to hurry. And in prayers. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayer. You got to pray together. Do you spend time? Guys, I've got at least two men, there's more, but at least every week there's two men that I spend an hour with. Not for them, for me. Every week. I go in and I sit down and we talk and I share what's going on in my life and they ask me the tough questions. How you doing this week? You praying with your wife? How you doing with your kids? I mean, those are the tough questions that I get asked weekly. I'm glad for that. I need that because I know Tuesday at 9:30 that question's coming. We need it, guys. We need this kind of discipleship together, of accountability together. What's going on with you? These two men know Mitch Griffin because there's nothing hidden. There's nothing in the dark. Any question they ask, I'm going to answer, just as honest as I know how. Is that easy? No, sir. But is it valuable? You betcha. It has forever altered the course of my direction. Having those men. Now, I can't do that with everybody, but I've got to have those men that I spend time with that pray for me. There's not a day goes by hardly I don't get a text from one of them saying, I'm praying for you, thinking about this. Here's a scripture God gave me for you. That's pretty good, right? Would you like to have that? You can have it. That's what these guys did. This is how we move ahead. This is how we overcome. This is how we change. By spending time together centered around the Word of God. We got to learn, guys, to think like our Father. Any way of thinking that does not match God's Word is a form of insanity. You've heard me say that before, but I love it. It's so true. Any way of thinking that doesn't match how God thinks is a form of insanity. I'm insane. Used to be. Getting a little more sanity every day. Because I'm lining myself up with the Word of God. Does that make sense? I promise you guys, in your life, there's insanity. There's ways of thinking that don't match how God thinks. And the only way to change it is what I'm about to teach you. We've got to put this into practice. Ephesians 4, 21 through 24. Ephesians 4, 21 through 24 says this. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. They're talking about Jesus. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Three things are happening here. We're going to put off the old man, we're going to renew our mind, and we're going to put on a new man. Can I say it this way? You'll never put on a new man without putting off the old one and renewing your mind. You can try to put off the old all you want to. The new's not coming until the mind is renewed, guys. That's where it happens, right here. The battle is between our ears. We've got to learn how to agree with God. I taught y'all yesterday, we've got to know and believe the love that God has for us. We've got to get this truth out of our head into our heart. That's the renewing of our mind. Are you with me? One of you, all right. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are we transformed? We change our thinking, the renewing of our mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Lie not one to another. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Guys, you see this renewed all through Scripture. The renewal is what must take place. Renewal doesn't happen in church. It doesn't. Renewal happens at home. Renewal happens as you take what you've learned in church and apply it to your life. That's where the renewing of the mind takes place. You with me? What's the word renew mean? You know I love words. Literally means renovation. I like that. I need some renovation. You ever renovated your house? Decided you need a little updating? It's a messy work, isn't it? Anybody else like me have gone through that process while you lived in the house? Now, it's one thing to renovate when you ain't there. It's an entirely another process to renovate when you are living in that house. Guess what? You're living in your house. And this renovation is going to be an ongoing thing. Our minds need to be renovated. They need to be washed by the water of the Word continually. I'm a visual guy. I think of a pressure washer. That's what I need. I don't need a slow, steady drip. I need a high-pressure washer to blow the gunk out down in the cracks and crevices of my mind. There's some cleaning that needs to happen. There's some renovation that needs to happen. Are you with me? Come on, anybody in this room think like God all the time? There's some gunk. There's some sludge. There's some stuff that has been implanted by our enemy that needs to be renewed, needs to be renovated, needs to be washed out. How do we do it? We got to be renovated. To defeat rejection, guys, we got to settle it once and for all that you're loved, that you're accepted, and that you're wanted of God your Father. Have I said that this week? Okay, you heard it, but you got to get it. You've got to settle it once and for all. You are loved. You are accepted. You are wanted of God. You belong. You are a child of the Most High God. He loves you. He wants you. He has accepted you. You must learn to agree with your Father about yourself. He made you, and He don't make no junk. Amen. If I'm going to defeat this mindset of rejection, I have to establish a foundation of truth. That God loves me. I'm accepted. I'm approved of. I belong. And anything that wants to come and tell me otherwise, I've got to make it my enemy and tell it where to go. Amen? So let's talk briefly. I'm going to get you out of here in time tonight, I promise. About this whole concept of reclaiming our identity. I gave you three questions on Sunday. Who am I? What is my purpose? And does anybody really care? Guys, this whole thing of identity, only God knows who you are. I've taught you that already. So to reclaim your identity, we must go to the source of truth provided by our Father, His Word. That's where I'm going to find myself, in His Word. Through it, our minds can be renovated or renewed to agree with Him about who we are. I've got to agree with God and what He says. To defeat rejection, we've got to settle it again once and for all. Here's a little phrase that I adopted in my journey. You can steal it, I don't mind. Here's my little phrase that I established as a foundation of truth. I am loved and I am accepted of my Father, period. I am. I don't care what I hear, I don't care what I feel, I don't care what I think. The truth is, according to the Word of God, I am loved and I am accepted of my Father. Now, I took this a little further because fear of man was a big deal in my life. So, if anybody does not agree with God about me, they've got a problem and it's not mine. Come on now. I had to come to that place. All right, just as a foundation of truth, regardless of what I'm hearing, regardless of what I'm feeling, regardless of what's swirling in my mind, no, I'm going to stand on this. I am accepted and I am loved of my Father, period. If you don't accept me, if you don't love me, you're not agreeing with God. You've got a problem and that's not my problem. Amen? Come on now. Let's just be honest. You know why people don't accept you? Because they don't accept themselves. The reason why they're not loving you and accepting you the way God would have them love and accept you is because they got all kind of junk. It's problem. But it's their problem, not yours. You ever run across somebody who's full of God, who knows who they are, who has received the love of God and knows that they're loved and knows that they're accepted, they're going to love and accept you too. Because they're in agreement with God. Guys, again, this is just my little statement. You can steal it. But for me, I had to nail this thing down and stand on it repeatedly. I am loved and accepted of God. I still do. I mean, every day of my life, I get junk. I'm not the only one. Every day of my life, something wants to come talk to me about how worthless and screwed up I am. I'm not listening. No, I am loved and accepted of my Father, period. Shut up. It had to get this simple to me. Anybody that, you think I've ever been rejected? Come on, I'm a pastor. You think I make everybody happy? You think everything I say people like? I've been kind of nice to you because I'm speaking in a crowd. Let's get one-on-one. We'll get down to business. I do. I get ugly with you. And you can't do that. If you're worried about what people think of you, you can't. I can't be the gift that God wants me to be to someone sitting across my desk if I am in any way doubting that I'm loved and I'm accepted of my Father. If I'm waiting on your approval to validate me, I can't help you. Guys, you got to get this nailed down. Identity. I am loved, I'm accepted of my Father, period. Anybody that doesn't agree with Him, they got a problem, and it ain't my problem. Amen. Y'all quiet. All right. If we had time, I'd take you through the entire Psalm 139. I'm not going to tonight. But I encourage you, a great place to start is Psalm 139. We want to reclaim identity. Let's go back to Psalm 139. Let's read through the entire Psalm. I'm not going to do it, but I want you to. Okay? My favorite verse in all of the Scripture, at least right now, because it's the one I'm thinking about, is Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. I know I'm repeating myself. You've heard me say this before. But guys, you've got to get where your soul knows right well that you're loved, that you're accepted, that you belong. If it doesn't know right well that you're loved, that you're accepted, and you belong, what is it knowing right well? Are you with me? I knew right well that I was worthless, that I was good for nothing, I was never going to measure up. That's what I knew right well. I needed some renovating. I needed a mind washing. I needed God's truth to come to bear, and this is one of them that I have camped out on. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am marvelous as a work of God, and this my soul is growing to know more and more. That's my translation, because it's a reality in my life. Are you with me? So again, homework. If you really want to do this, I'm going to give you some homework. I'm going to give you some things to use tonight. Psalm 139 is one of them. Spend some time meditating through the 24 verses of Psalm 139. What I do want to do quickly is go to Ephesians 1. Brother Keith mentioned this way back on Sunday. I told him, hold on, we're going to get there. Ephesians 1 and 2. We're going to look at a little bit of a 2 also. And again, I'm not going to take a lot of time here, but I want to just declare from the Word of God what God has to say. If you're ever going to renew your mind, you've got to begin to allow His truth to stand. Let God be true and every man a liar. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says that you are blessed with every spiritual blessing. That's what it says. You believe God? Keith does. Verse 4 says, I was chosen before the foundation of the world. Now again, I could camp out and preach for 15, 20 minutes on every one of these. I'm going to try not to. But I was chosen before the foundation of the world. What do you mean I'm rejected? What do you mean I don't belong? God chose me before He created the world. That's what the Bible says. I'm called to be holy and without blame in love. Verse 4. I'm called to be holy and without blame. That's my calling. That's what He has created me for. What is a calling? See, this used to get me. Well, my calling is, but I'm such a miserable failure, I'll never find my calling. You know what calling is? That's what God's drawing you towards. That's what you're created for. That's what He wants to create in you. You are called to be holy and without blame in love. That's your destiny. That's your birthright as a son, as a daughter of God. Amen. I am adopted by Christ to God. Verse 5. I am adopted. I belong to God. Verse 6. I am accepted in the family of God. I'm accepted. You are accepted. God said so. Shut up, devil. I'm forgiven. Verse 7. I have an inheritance from God. Verse 11. I've got it now. What is an inheritance? Somebody dies, they give you that. God's got everything, guys. Come on. You know what my inheritance is? Everything. Go back to Romans chapter 8. It says there that I am an heir, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. What's God going to give Jesus? Everything. What's He going to give me? Everything. Come on, you got to believe it. You've got to move it past just some kind of knowledge into faith. I have known and believed the love that God has for me. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit, verse 13. This helps me. I mean, even today, I've been saved a long time. The devil still wants to come and say, are you sure? Are you sure that if you stand died today and you stand before Jesus, He's going to let you in? Shut up, devil. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit. I have a hope and a calling, verse 18. Verse 1 of chapter 2, I am alive. Hallelujah. I'm alive. I talked to somebody today who's having a rough time, and I love what came out of their mouth. But you know what? It could be better. I'm alive. Hallelujah. That's a place to start right there. I ain't dead yet. I'm alive. I'm alive to God. The Spirit of God lives in me. Guys, the devil is a liar, and he wants to push you down. You have the very Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead living in you. You've been brought from death unto life. You are alive. That's who you are. I am seated in heavenly places with Christ. Chapter 2, verse 6. I can't even wrap my mind around that, but man, it's fun to think about. I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ. Get back on your seat where you belong. Stop letting the devil wear you out. Get up. Get on your throne. Sit on your throne with him and rule. You have authority. You have power over this kingdom. Do not let it defeat you. I am God's workmanship. Verse 10. I was created for good works. Verse 10. Who says you can't do good works? You're created for good works. That's what you're made for. My car won't drive. Why? It just won't. That's what it's made for. It ain't a boat. Come on, guys. We're living like we're boats. We're cars. We're made for good works. It ain't something you've got to fight and try to make happen. You're created for it. Get in relationship with God and you can't help but do good works. They're coming. It's who you are. It's your identity. It's your purpose in this planet. Amen. I've been brought near to God, verse 13. I'm reconciled to God, verse 16. I have access to the Father, verse 18. Hallelujah. I got access to Daddy. Anything going wrong in your life? You got access to your heavenly Father. You've got access to God. That veil has been torn. You can now enter boldly into the very throne room of God. You've got access. What's your problem? Amen. I am God's habitation, verse 22. God lives in me. Everywhere I go, God goes. I brought him with me. He's here. He's inside of you. Tap into it. It's there. That's your identity. That's who you are. So what's the answer to the question, who am I? The answer is simply this. To me, you are a son, you're a daughter of the Most High God, period. Somebody asks you who you are. I am a son or I am a daughter of the Most High God. That's all I need. Who am I? I'm a son of God. Is that it? Yep. That's all I know. That's all I need. That's it. My identity is not in anything that I do. My identity is solidly, firmly rooted in the fact that I am a son of the Most High God. He is my Father. I am his son. I've been adopted into his family. He lives in me. I've got access. That's it. That's who I am. Are you a failure? What are you talking about, a failure? I am a son of the Most High God. I can't fail. Can I make mistakes? Sure. But I can get up. I'm a son of the Most High God. Are you with me, guys? Come on. I'm excited tonight. What's your purpose? Question number two. Who am I? You're a son, son or a daughter of the Most High God. What's your purpose? Isaiah 43:7 says this, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Guys, your purpose is simply this to me. I've already taught you this. Your purpose is to receive the love of God and give it away to everyone you meet. You know how you bring glory to God? Just be who you are, a son or a daughter. Receive everything you can from God and let it flow out of you. That's your purpose. That's your purpose. It's so simple. It takes the pressure off for me. What's my purpose in life? What do I need to be doing? This is it. I can do this anywhere. Tomorrow I'm taking off. I'm going with my boy to Cheehaw Park. That's going to be fun. Running around with a bunch of first graders. But you know what my purpose is? Same. My purpose is the same there as it is right here. Now, I'm not going to get up on a stump and preach this to them, ain't? Because that's not my purpose. My purpose isn't to preach.
My purpose is to receive the love of God and give it away to everybody I can in whatever way I can. I promise you, somehow, some way, tomorrow at Chi Hall Park, God's going to give me opportunity to give away something I've received from Him. That's it. That's what I look for. That's my purpose. Everywhere I go, I'm looking to give away what God's given to me. It helps me. It simplifies for me my purpose. I got another purpose that comes out of that. 2 Timothy 2:22 says this, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So your purpose is also to make known the ways of God and to extend His kingdom in the earth. So the first thing my purpose is just to receive from God and give it away. But in so doing, what I will do is extend the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? I'm taking the kingdom of God to Chi Hall Park tomorrow. Literally. I'm not trying to be funny. That's exactly the purpose that I have tomorrow. I am carrying God with me. Where are you going tomorrow? What are you going to be doing? What's your purpose? Just to be available to God, receive everything you can from Him in this continued relationship, and every opportunity you have, give it away. In so doing, you are extending the kingdom. You're bringing light into a dark world. Ephesians 3:10 says this, "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." Right now, to the intent that now I get to show that kingdom that just wore me out for 40 years. I get to show that kingdom the manifold wisdom of God tomorrow. I'm doing it today too, but tomorrow. I'm going to go to Chi Hall Park and I'm going to show the devils how God's Son walks. I'm going to show the devils how God's kingdom is extended in the earth. And you know what? There's nothing they can do about it. Oh, they're going to try. They're going to try to withstand me. They're going to try to fill my head full of stuff. You don't need to say that. You need to shut up. Shut up, devil. I am a son of the Most High God. That's who I am. My purpose is to give away what God's given to me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to extend the kingdom of God in the earth. You with me? Third question, who cares? Who am I? What's my purpose? And who cares? Can I be just as serious as I can for a minute? It don't matter who cares when God cares. And God cares. He's the only... Guys, you're serving an audience of one. I'm living for an audience of one. All I care about, and I mean this, all I care about is what He thinks. Who cares? He does. I mean, it's great when you love me. I appreciate it. I like having friends. I like having people in my life. But if you don't, that's your problem. He does. God cares. God cares for me. God loves me. God's accepted me. If I'm the only one on the planet, He cares for me. Amen? You got to get this. I'm realizing more and more, man, the more I press into God, the more I see how lonely this life is. But I'm never alone. That makes sense? When I say lonely, what I mean is the more you press into God, the fewer people you're going to find that want to follow you there. The deeper you go into God, the less people are going to follow you into Him. It's a lonely road. Sold out, all in for God. So if you are consumed with who cares, that's going to be a hard road to walk. But when you can understand your identity is simply firmly rooted in this truth, I am a son of the Most High God. My purpose on this planet is to get everything I can from Him and to give it away to everybody I can. Who cares? He does. That's all that matters. Now, thank God there are other people on the journey that care. We're not completely alone. I thank God for Keith Lloyd. I mean, we don't talk much. It ain't like we call and talk to each other every week, but I know this man's got my back. I know, I don't care what time of day, what, I mean, if midnight, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, if I call him, it can wake him up. He's going to answer the phone. And whatever it is I need, he's going to be there for me. There are people who care. But even if he didn't, he does. You got to get this. God cares. And he's the only one that matters. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Amen. Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. Isaiah 49, 15 and 16. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. I love the honesty of God. Can a woman forget? Hell yeah, they can, but I'm not. Maybe your mama did forget you. Maybe your mama did forsake you. Maybe your mama abandoned you. Maybe your mama didn't care, but God does. Maybe your daddy did, but God does. You got to get this. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Don't think me sacrilegious when I say this, but my name's tattooed on God's hand. Right there. He's never going to forget me. Guys, you got to get this. You got to fight against the rejection mindset that wants to keep you from knowing and believing the truth of God. I am loved. I am accepted by my Father. If anybody does not agree with God about me, they've got a problem and it's not mine. Let's pass them out, Brother Keith, if we can. I've got something that I just want to give you as a resource. It's been a blessing to me, and I want to read through together, quickly, these things. The first thing that you have there is called the Father's Love Letter. Anybody ever heard of the Father's Love Letter? It's not new. It's been out there. It's around. You can literally go online to thefathersloveletter.com. They have it. You can print it off. You can give it away. There's a video that you can watch. It has music behind it. You can listen to it. You can read it. You can watch it. You can do anything. The Father's Love Letter, what it is compiled passages of Scripture and the specific point of those passages, and put it into the form of a letter as if Father God has written you a letter. Pretty awesome, pretty powerful. If you will really spend some time with this. So what I want us to do tonight is read through it for the benefit of you to read through it, but I want to give it to you because all the way through this love letter are scriptures that indicate truth about who you are and what God thinks about you. So you've got right here, many people say to me, where do I need to go in the Bible? All right, I need to renew my mind. Where do I need to go? And I can give you scripture, but what I love about this is there's certain points of this that really pierce, really speak to your heart. That's the scripture you need to meditate on. That's the truth you need to apply. So let's read it. Everybody got one? Or at least one you can look on with? First page, the yellow page. Here we go. My child. You may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who do not know me. I am not distant and angry, but I am the complete expression of love. It is my desire to lavish my love on you simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider, and I will meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you. for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul. And I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine. For I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who counts you, who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you, even as I love my Son Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I love that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad, Almighty God. Woo! Good stuff, isn't it? I love this. And you can use this. Keep it. Make copies. I had this one guy in my office one day, and he was just struggling. I said, man, I just printed it off real quick. I said, just read this. Just read it. About halfway through, he done broke down. I mean, just sobbing. I'm like, that's what you need. You've got to receive this truth for your heart. That's why I want to put this in your hands. It's not just something to read through and throw away. Stick it in your Bible. Bring it back out. Meditate on it. I guarantee you there's certain parts of that that spoke more dearly to you than others. Use those scriptures. Meditate on them. Memorize them. Find those scriptures. Get it into your heart. That's how you renew your mind. You allow the Word of God to speak to that area of need, and then you hang on to that truth. You establish that truth, and you plant a foundation of truth, and you stand there against all the wiles of the devil that want to knock you off of it. Amen? All right, I'm hurrying. Who am I? This is by Neil Anderson. It's compiled from Neil Anderson's book, The Bondage Breaker. And again, a lot of stuff here, and I know I'm reading through it very quickly, but I want to give this to you to take home and use. Who am I? I am the salt of the earth. I'm the light of the world. I'm a child of God. I am part of the true vine, a channel of Christ's love. I am Christ's friend. I am chosen and appointed by Christ to bear His fruit. I am a slave of righteousness. I am enslaved to God. I am a son of God. God is spiritually my Father. I am a joint heir with Christ, sharing His inheritance with Him. I am a temple, a dwelling place of God. His Spirit and His life dwell in me. I am united to the Lord, and I am one spirit with Him. I am a member of Christ's body. I am a new creation. I am reconciled to God and am a minister of reconciliation. I am a son of God and one in Christ. I am an heir of God since I am a son of God. I am a saint. I am God's workmanship, His handiwork, born anew in Christ to do His work. I am a fellow citizen with the rest of God's family. I am a prisoner of Christ. I am righteous and holy. I am a citizen of heaven, seated in heaven right now. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am an expression of the life of Christ because He is my life. I am chosen of God, holy and dearly loved. I am a son of light and not of darkness. I am a holy partaker of a heavenly calling. I am a partaker of Christ. I share in His life. I am one of God's living stones being built up in Christ as a spiritual house. I am a member of a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. I am an alien and a stranger to this world in which I temporarily live. I am an enemy of the devil. I am a child of God, and I will resemble Christ when He returns. I am born of God, and the evil one, the devil, cannot touch me. I am not the great I am, but by grace, the grace of God, I am what I am. Hallelujah. Who are you? Well, I gave you a very simple one. You are a son of the Most High God. But here's a list for you to meditate on. Find things that speak to you. Get it deeply rooted in your heart. Moving on. Since I am in Christ, by the grace of God, I've been justified completely, forgiven, and made righteous. I died with Christ and died to the power of sin's rule over my life. I am free forever from condemnation. I've been placed into Christ by God's doing. I have received the Spirit of God into my life that I might know the things freely given to me by God. I have been given the mind of Christ. I have been bought with a price, and I am not my own. I belong to God. I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God in Christ, and I have been given the Holy Spirit as a pledge guaranteeing my inheritance to come. Since I have died, I no longer live for myself, but for Christ. I have been made righteous. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I am now living is Christ's life. I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. I was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame before Him. I was predestined, determined by God, to be adopted as God's Son. I've been redeemed and forgiven, and I am a recipient of lavish grace. I've been made alive with Christ. I've been raised up and seated with Christ in heaven. I have direct access to God through the Spirit. I may approach God with boldness, freedom, and confidence. I have been rescued from the domain of Satan's rule and transferred to the kingdom of Christ. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. The debt against me has been canceled. Christ Himself is in me. I am firmly rooted in Christ and am now being built in Him. I have been spiritually circumcised. My old, unregenerate nature has been removed. I have been made complete in Christ. I've been buried, raised, and made alive with Christ. I died with Christ, and I have been raised up with Christ. My life is now hidden with Christ in God. Christ is now my life. I have been given a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. I've been saved and set apart according to God's doing. Because I am sanctified and am one with the sanctifier, He is not ashamed to call me brother. I have the right to come boldly before the throne of God to find mercy and grace in time of need. I have been given exceedingly great and precious promises by God, by which I am a partaker of God's divine nature. You think you find something to meditate on? I know I'm throwing a lot at you, but people ask me all the time, where do I start? Well, here you go. Camp out on this. It'll take you a year or more. Spend time. I got to catch my breath. Keys to success in Christian life. I love this one. You with me? We're almost done. I will not say I can't, because the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I will lack nothing, because God will supply all my needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I will not fear, because God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I will not lack faith to fulfill my calling, because God has allotted to me a measure of faith. I will not be weak, because the Lord is the strength of my life, and will display strength and take action because I know God. I will not allow Satan to have supremacy over my life, because he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. I will not accept defeat, because God always leads me in triumph. I will not lack wisdom, because Christ became wisdom to me from God, and God gives wisdom to me generously when I ask Him. I will not be depressed, because I recall to mind God's loving kindness, compassion, and faithfulness, and have hope. I will not worry and fret, because I can cast all my anxiety on Christ who cares for me. I will never be in bondage, knowing that there is liberty where the Spirit of the Lord is. I will not feel condemned, because the Bible says I am not condemned, because I am in Christ. I will never feel alone, because Jesus said He is with me always, and He will never leave me or forsake me. I will never feel accursed, or that I am the victim of bad luck, because the Bible says that Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law, that I might receive His Spirit. I will not be discontented, because I, like Paul, can learn to be content in all my circumstances. I will never feel worthless, because I know that Christ became sin on my behalf, that I might become the righteousness of God in Him. I will not have a persecution complex, knowing that nobody can be against me when God is for me. I will not be confused, because God is the author of peace and gives me knowledge through His indwelling Spirit. I will not feel like a failure, because I am a conqueror in all things through Christ. I will not let the pressures of life bother me, because I can take courage knowing that Jesus has overcome the world and its tribulations. Amen. Woo! Come on, guys. This is your identity. Rejection wants to rob you of who you are, what your purpose is, and the fact that God cares. Rejection is a liar. I've taught you. I've given you some resources. Now it's up to you. Take this. Apply this. What are the lies that you have recognized this week that you've been listening to? The lies of the enemy that are keeping you in bondage, that are keeping you from freedom, that are keeping you out of relationship with God, yourself, and others. Identify those lies. In all that we just read, there's some lies in there you've been listening to. And here's the truth to apply to that lie. Meditate on it. Chew on it. Renew your mind. Fight against the lie and replace it with truth. That's how we're changed, guys. I told you it ain't sexy. But it works. It's hard work, but it's worthy work. It will forever change you. When you get your freedom this way, when you become free through this process, it's yours. You can hang on to it. I've seen a lot of people come to an altar and get prayed for, and something just kind of breaks off. Hallelujah, thank God for that. But I've seen a lot of those same people wind up right back in that same situation. When you are transformed through the renewing of your mind, you can hang on to it. You can keep it. And you can move forward in freedom and in victory. That's what this cross is all about. And it's appropriate we're doing communion tonight. Because that's what we're celebrating. The Lord's Supper. We're celebrating what this cross represents. His death, His life, His life, His death, His resurrection. That's why He did it, guys. To give us all of this that we just read through. It's yours. It's your inheritance. It belongs to you. Don't let your enemy steal it from you. The thief wants to come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen? Amen. One more resource I want to recommend. This book by Jack Frost, Experiencing Father's Embrace. If you're serious about really pressing into this, this book is worth, it's $10 on Amazon. It's worth 10 times that. It's one of the most valuable resources I know of to help you find and deepen a relationship with Father God. I've given out 50 copies of this, I bet. You know, this book will change your life. And I love it because it's his story, and it's a man who God has radically changed. And he gives you very practical steps to follow. It's a good resource. Experiencing Father's Embrace by Jack Frost. So there's my resources for you. Wish I could give you more. But I think that's enough to get you started. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for this week. I thank you for Zion Hill Church and for Brother Keith. The friendship that we have, it spills over onto you guys. I love all y'all just because I love him. And I thank you, Father, for this church and this body and who they are and what a work you're doing in their midst. We thank you for this week. I've been encouraged. I've been blessed. I've taken another step or two in my journey as a result of being here this week. So, Father, I pray that the same has happened for each one here. God, they've been given another step, another rung on the ladder. Father, another chain has fallen off. More freedom has come. But Father, help us now. Not just walk away from this week saying that was good, but let us take these truths and apply them to our life and transform us from the inside out, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Chris is going to sing for us. If you will, let's stand. And if you need to come and pray or worship or whatever you need to do tonight, draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. If you want to prepare your heart before we receive the Lord's Supper tonight, you can do that as well. As Christy sings, would you come?